facing you, you will not be moved. The strongest walls will fall before the risen Lord. I will trust in you, you will not be moved.
Church.
Good morning. Hello. Good morning, everybody. Let's stand and worship the Lord. You ready?
Freedom conquered, all our chains undone.
let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Your praise forevermore, Jesus our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore, Jesus our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Our God, nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. They shall be done. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Love is greater, your love is stronger, your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Your love is greater, your love is stronger, your love awakens, awakens, awakens. There were walls between us. By your cross you came and broke them down. You broke them down. There were chains around us. By your grace we are no longer bound. No longer bound. You called me out of the grave. You called me into the light. You called my name and then my heart came alive. Your love is greater. Your love is stronger. Your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Your love is greater. Your love is stronger. Your love awakens, awakens, awakens me.
Feel the darkness shaking. All the dead are coming back to life. I'm back to life. Song awaken, all creation singing, we're alive, cause you're alive.
You call me out of the grave, you call me into the light, you call my name and then my heart came alive.
Your love is greater, your love is stronger, your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Your love is greater, your love is stronger, your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. And what a love we found. Death can't hold us down. We shout it out cause we're alive, cause you're alive. And what a love we found. Death can't hold us down. We
shout it out, cause we're alive, cause you're alive. What a love we found, death can't hold us down. We shout it out, cause we're alive, cause you're alive.
All right, sing together. Your love is greater, love is stronger, love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Love is greater, love is stronger, love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Your love is greater, your love is stronger, your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Your love is greater, your love is stronger, your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Your love awakens me. Your love is greater, your love is stronger, your love awakens, awakens, awakens me.
So I'll shout out your name from the rooftops. I proclaim that I am yours. I am yours.
All that I am.
All that I am. A place into your loving hands, and I am yours. And seeking your truth, knowing that your perfect grace has brought me to this place. Because of you, I freely live my life to you, oh God, I give. So I stand before you, God. I lift my voice, cause you set me free.
Your name from the rooftops, I proclaim that I am yours. I am yours.
All the good you've done for me, I lift up my hands for all to see. You're the only one who brings me to my knees to share this love across the earth, the beauty of your holy word. So I stand before you, God. I lift my voice, cause you set me free.
Shout it out.
So I'll shout out your name from the rooftops. I proclaim that I am yours. All that
place into your loving hands, then I am yours. I am yours. So I'll shout out your name from the rooftops. I proclaim that I am yours. I am yours.
All that I am.
All that I am. A place into your loving hands. And I am yours. I am yours.
Here I am.
I stand with arms wide open to the one.
Lord God, with a week that just has so much in it, so much that just seems like so much negativity, so much loss, so much senselessness. God, whatever we're going through during this week, it just seems we're looking for what's around the next corner. God, may we just recognize that everything that we have, we'll just shout out your name, and that everything that we have will be in your hands, and that you will bring your Holy Spirit into this place and touch our hearts, heal our hearts, heal our minds, and heal our land. And as we today look about your majesty and your just awe and wonder. God, just let us know that you love us so much, even in the midst of all those things. In Christ's name, everybody says, amen. All right, our children can leave for our Sunday school Shoreline Ministry, but we also ask that you just stand and say hello to somebody around you. All right. All right. Good morning, everyone. How you doing? All right. So we welcome everybody here today. How you doing, Harry? Good seeing you, buddy. Good. Yeah. All right. Good. He's what?
He's early.
He's early. There he is. Yeah, he said he's early. All right. Everybody online's like, what? He's early? He just walked in. So, but that's good. Good to see everybody. We're enjoying, I guess you would say, this other kind of humidity, heat kind of thing. It's crazy, but we're all here, and we're thanking God for bringing us here. Number one, welcome to anybody who's visiting in person with us today. Number two, we want to welcome anybody who's joining church online. I'm sometimes amazed at just the numbers of those who are joining online. So we have a very large people that are checking out us on Facebook Live and on our
on our website and app. So we want to welcome everybody there. We hope that someday you may just come and join us if you're in the area. And we'd love to have you join us there, but we're glad that you're connecting with church online. A couple different things. If you want to know a little bit about Haven Church afterwards, we're planning on getting together. We'll see how many are here, and we may connect with that a little bit more. But if you'd like to connect with that and see what it's like about Haven membership, we'll talk briefly after church today. The Crazy Love series that I introduced last week, we are starting officially today. So small groups are meeting throughout the week, and I believe we have those. Do they have them online? And if you want to know, where else can they find them? Okay, Debbie will be out here. So if you want to connect with small groups, we have them all over the place. Several, how many different days? Five different days during the week at all different times. One is Sunday morning, I believe, right? And then we've got them from Charlestown to down across the bridge in Chesapeake City area. So there's a lot of opportunities for you to join in. They even have a men and a women's group that are meeting the same night. I believe that's Tuesday night right here. And I think there is some child care provided, isn't that right? So we're excited about those opportunities as well. Let's see, what else do we have? And we'd love for you to connect in small group. Great chance to get to know people. You okay, Lisa? Okay, all right. Just checking. Okay, so she's doing that on purpose. Okay. This isn't TSA, Lisa. Leave us alone. But you can see the insert. The insert here, Trunk Retreat. In case you don't know, Lisa always gets searched in TSA. But you have a thing about Trunk or Treat, and then we're going to have that here. You can see on the screens outside or on the web. We also have some pictures from previously before. But you can see if you'd like to help decorate that your trunk, throw it open, have some candy. They dress up, and it's a great place. And that will be on Sunday, October 29th, which before we know it, it'll be here. Is that 3 weeks? Is that 3 weeks? Yeah, 1, 2, 3. Yeah, 3 weeks. That's crazy. So we'll be there 6 to 8 p.m. right outside here, and we have a good time. And if you have information, Dana Webb's information is right there to connect with her. Now, believe it or not, here we come to this time of year for Operation Christmas Child. All right, it's believe that or not. And last year, how many did we do last year?
320.
We did 320, and I gave. How many did I give? Say we were going to do. I said 300, and we had said to 2. I'm going to pray about it, and then I'm going to throw it out here, and we'll see where God leads me this year. It may be even crazier this year. Let's just see this brief video real quick about Operation Christmas Child.
The children received their gift boxes with such excitement.
Some of them, it's the very first time that they ever received a gift in their lives. Jesus loves you.
That's what Operation Christmas Child is all about, is to reach children of the world with God's love. And we do that through a simple gift.
There's no greater joy than knowing we're getting to be a part of the Great Commission together.
There's no way that you could do this without volunteers. They're incredible. The energy that they have, the excitement that they have.
This is the Good Samaritan work that the Lord is looking for people to do.
When we pray, God takes your gift and he begins to navigate it around the world, and it ends up in the hands of a child. God begins to answer those prayers.
After a child receives a gift box, the child is invited to go through the greatest journey.
They know the story of God and they can tell others by using the books.
These boxes can be used as a tool to touch a whole community.
The Great Commission, we're to go into all the world to preach the gospel, to make disciples of all nations, to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Evangelism, discipleship, and multiplication, that's what we do.
It never ceases to amaze me how a simple box can change the world for a child.
All right, we tried to even see, just to let you know, if they could target them to our community in Haiti, just because they do billions and billions of boxes, they're unable to technically do that. But we recognize that there are many who are in need around the world. Last year, we did 320, 250. Stay tuned. Jack will throw it out there one day. All right, so, but a lot of us, I know many have gone to like the dollar stores and gotten like the plastic boxes so that they can go ahead and continue to use them rather than the regular shoebox. But either way, whatever, we'll start collecting them and we'll have them hopefully up to the ceiling and it'll be awesome and we'll send those off. There are boxes and information out back if you want to take a regular box and you want to see the information that goes in there. We'd be glad to have you connect with that, all right? And you'll hear more about that in the next coming weeks. Quarters for linens, we have been collecting those, and there are the cans by the door, and that helps those wash sheets and other kinds of things for the homeless and others in our area as well. All right, and I think that's probably a lot of our, we have a lot of different things going on there we want to lift up. Yes, Mike. Next week, okay. So next week's Parish Foundation. Opportunities?
Yes, we need a dishwasher.
Okay, get your hands ready. We need a dishwasher. So next week, Parish Foundation, if you'd like to wash dishes, awesome. Be a great opportunity. So, okay. Yeah, I should have just said an opportunity. Okay. A hand sanitation, plate sanitation consultant. There you go. That's what we need. All right. Okay. So we want to do that. A couple other prayer requests that we want to lift up. Bob Ward, who has been working with our youth, has been in the hospital with an infection. He had a cut in his foot. It started swelling up, and he got swollen up pretty good. The doctor got a scalpel and went to town, and they found a small piece of metal in there, which caused an infection. So he was planning on being here today, but he's on some good antibiotics trying to get that infection out and his white count still up. So we want to pray for Bob and hope as they go ahead and deal with that. Ray Caldwell was on the hospital tour this week. He went to Union. They sent him to down to Baltimore, and last thing we heard, they said he's going to be okay, and so we want to lift him up in prayers as well. As a sad note, and I know Dale is here, and also Zach, Billy Ross, who was part of our church family, Billy passed away this week very suddenly, and we're going to honor his life. Bill was not shy in sharing his battle with addiction, and so he was open with that, and he helped. Many people get through that and struggle with it himself to the point that last year when he was in an accident, he had to deal with the struggles once again of being able to take medication that many of us take that don't think twice about it, but for him, and addiction was fighting him all the way. And so we're glad today that he's with the Lord. If you know Billy's heart, you know he's present with the Lord, and he loved the Lord God, and yet we know that this horrible disease and life of addiction is something that is horrific in our community. And so we want to continue to lift him up. I know the family's meeting today with Crouch Funeral Home. We'll get that information out. I believe we're kind of looking in Wednesday kind of area to honor his life. So please be praying for Bill, Dale, Zach, Corey, and all the entire family. All right. In that. We also want to lift up the family of Teresa DeFlippo. Many who are from Morris Chapel know Teresa. Teresa, I knew her from the first Sunday I ever became a pastor. She sat right up on this side, right about two or three rows back, always smiling, always laughing, just a great lady. Her daughter, Allison, has been part of our church several times, and I know the family. I've known the family for 21 years. And so Teresa was having some headaches and some issues. They took her to Union, and they found that she had three aneurysms. They got her to Christiana, and while they were getting a team together, the worst happened, and so the aneurysm actually took her life. She was in her late 50s, I believe, and so please pray for her, Robert, for Marcia, and for Allison, and her grandchildren, and siblings, and everyone else. So it's been one of these weeks that we just say, this does not make sense. These things don't make sense. And then we add to that the tragedy that happened in Las Vegas. That many of us have no clue. We want to know why. We've got all kinds of questions and all kinds of, and when we get an answer, it leads to more questions. But the simple fact is that the prince of this world, as Jesus reminded us of, is going to achieve defeat eventually. He's going to get defeated eventually by the name of Jesus. But right now, he's wreaking havoc in this world. And we need to be active more than ever in our communities, in our world, with the name of Jesus. Okay? So let's go. Any other prayers that we need to lift up? Oh, yes, Carol. Where's Carol? I saw her come in. Carol, yeah, Carol's sister passed away this week as well, and she struggled through that as well. So we had a lot of loss this week, a lot of loss in our extended church family and in this world. So let's go to the Lord in prayer now if we can. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and I'm just going to ask for your healing touch in the lives of people who are struggling. You're struggling doing with sickness, infirmity, those who are struggling with terminal illness, those who are just daily struggling with pain, and whatever it may be, God, we know that you have the answer and that you're bringing your healing to that area. God, as we look at our world, and this week started with a senseless act of just innocent lives at a concert, just being shot, and those who were first responders also giving their lives up for the cause to help with others. And God, we look at this and we say, this makes no sense. We can't find, and so many people are asking why? And sometimes, God, there's just no answer except for the fact that there is evil in the world, and this world needs Jesus. And so, God, for those who are experiencing personal loss, for Carol's family, for Billy, as they experience the loss of a sister and a wife and a mother and a daughter. Same thing in Billy's family as they experience the loss of a father and a husband and a brother and a son. God, as Teresa's family, as they experience the loss of a sister and a daughter and a mother and a grandmother and all those other areas, God, that they feel. We are jolted and reminded just about how precious of a gift life is. That God, in the grand scheme of everything, we seem so insignificant, and yet you love us. You love us so much. Each and every one of us, you love us so much that you gave your son to be our way to you. And so God, during this time today, the greatest thing for those who are watching through online or those who are present here or whatever means you may see this later is that we could just go ahead and say, God, I don't understand this world, and I don't know, but I need a Savior, and you're it. So we're going to pray for that mainly today, God, that you may touch someone with salvation in the midst of this message, in the midst of this service. For those who are here as we give back during this time, it's an act of, not of forcing, but an act of your Holy Spirit working on our lives. And so, God, thank you for the blessings that we may be able to go ahead and share with others so that they may come to know you as well. We ask this and claim this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a taste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit and washed in his blood, perfect submission, all is at rest. High in my Savior, I'm happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight.
visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love.
You know this, sing us along with us.
This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. And this is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long, praising my Savior.
Good morning. Our scripture today is from Revelation chapter 4, verses 2 through 11, New International Version. At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby. A rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumbles, and peals of thunder. In front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also in front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center around the throne were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had the face like a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. Day and night they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." This is the word of the Lord.
All right. Hi. Whoa. Hey, there you go. Just checking to see if you're there. It's like, okay. Everybody get kissed last week? Got a kiss from me? Maybe I'll give hugs one week. So kisses and hugs. I'll throw them out to you. I'm not giving you any candy this week. You have to come back for more. Good. We are ready to start. Everybody ready to start this series called Crazy Love? Are you ready? Okay. Now, there are still books out there, right? We still have books, and we'd love for you to go ahead and connect to it. It's an excellent opportunity to connect to what we're going to be doing for several weeks, and it's fairly easy reading. I'm the person who, when one of my first days of grad school and seminary, I saw one of my classes, and they were saying I was going to read 1,000 pages a week, and I thought, you do not know Jack Cohen, and I was scared and going to drop the class, but somehow I realized I didn't have to read much at all. It's great and easy reading, and so we are kicking off our first official week. Last week, we went ahead and talked and gave an intro to it. Now, how many of you, when you saw today's topic, crazy love, stop praying, or you heard me say that, you thought, what? How many thought that? I mean, like, what is wrong with him? That is crazy. Because we've talked several times about the power of prayer. I know Debbie sends out prayer requests, and this week we had a lot of them. And so going out and giving those prayer requests, I know Debbie always has on the bottom the power of prayer, right? And we trust in the power of prayer, and we talk about the power of prayer. And since you were real little, you were taught to pray, correct? I mean, what were some of our first prayers? Now I lay me down to sleep. And then, God is great, God is good, let us thank him for our food. Isn't that a stretch, food and good, wrapping, running? Okay, but we teach kids like that, it looks the same, all right? So we learn that from a very, very young age. We keep that as we go on in our faith. Like, for instance, if I go ahead and were to share just something more so, and I started with Our Father, you would say, okay, there you go. So you got that. So we're taught these things. So what do I mean about this power of prayer and to stop praying? Well, I want you to, before you pray, I want you to stop, is what I'm saying. Just stop where you are. And I want you to stop and think who you're talking to. Before we pray, rather than just saying, hey, God, but like this, I want you to stop and think about talking to God and who you're talking to. In other words, we need to check. It's a baby crying. You'll be all right. All right? So everybody goes, you know, looks this way. Everybody watch her as she walks out. Okay. But as we, when we talk about stop praying, I want you to just stop. I could have said stop before you pray, and you would have been like, oh. But I wanted to you guys to say, what is he going to talk about to stop praying? So what I want you to do is just stop and think about God. In other words, check on who you're talking to. Has anybody ever had, like, your kids say something, or some kid say something to you, or an employee who is on the pecking order down below you, and they say something very smart, and you say, you better check who you're talking to. Anybody ever had that experience in life? That's what I want us to do, to really check on who we're talking to. And in order to do so, we're going to jump around several different scriptures. And I will tell you, the scripture that Robin read for us is awesome. I want you to think about it, but I'm not going to talk about it at all today. All right? But I want you to know that, because that's an image of the throne room of God. But I want you to look at Ecclesiastes. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon tells us several things here. Verses 1 through 7, it says, guard your steps when you go to the house of God. In other words, check when you're going to the house of God. Go near to listen rather than to offer sacrifice, the sacrifice of fools who do not know what they do is wrong. Do not be quick with your mouth. Oh, would that be a nice life manual for many of us, right? Do not be quick with your mouth, and do not be hasty in your heart to utter things before God, because God is in heaven and you are on earth. So let your words be few. And then it continues on further, and it says, there's much dreaming and many words are meaningless. Therefore, fear God. Now I want to share with you the Message version of this, because I love how the Message will take it and put it right here in our time. And listen to what it says. Watch your step when you enter God's house. Enter to learn. That's far better than mindless offering of sacrifice, doing more harm than good. Listen to verse 2. Don't shoot your mouth off or speak before you think. Don't be too quick to tell God what you think he wants to hear. God's in charge, not you. The less you speak, the better. Overwork makes for restless sleep. Overtalk shows you up as a fool. When you tell God you'll do something, do it, and do it now. Because God takes no pleasure in foolish gabble. Vow it, then do it. Far better not to vow in the first place than to not vow and not pay up. Don't let your mouth make a total sinner of you. When called into account, you won't get away with, "Sorry, I didn't mean it." Why risk provoking God to angry retaliation? But against all illusion and fantasy and empty talk, there's always this rock foundation. Fear God. Now, fear God, I've done several sermons and messages on that. It's not like, here's God. It's a reverence and an awe for God. And there's a problem that we have when we look at what Solomon wrote to us here and begin to share it with us, is the problem is we know. We know certain things. We know that we're supposed to love and fear God, don't we? We know we're supposed to love and fear God. We know that we are supposed to read Bibles, don't we? We know that people have given us these when we were in third grade, or they gave them to us. There's a guy standing out with a little green New Testament and Psalm, they handed it to us, right? Or we know that somebody, maybe one birthday or anniversary or something, handed us one and said, read, and we go to every church service and says, read the Word of God, read the Bible, read the Bible. We know that, don't we? What else do we know? We also know that we are supposed to go to church. Don't we? Many of us grew up in an environment, you better be in church or else. Many of us grew up in an environment, like I said, I knew somebody who could have played baseball for the Phillies way back in the 50s and 60s, and he was underage, and they came to talk to his mother, and she said, "Will they be playing on Sunday?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Well, he won't." All right? Okay? And so that was required back then. We also know that when we talked about the need and the benefit of small group ministry, that we can't do this alone, that Jesus never sent anybody out alone, that we need each other, and we should, and we need to be in small groups. We don't do this just to say, we had so many people in small groups. We do it because we want you to grow closer to God, and we know it's needed, that we need to do life together with each other. We know that we need to worship, and yes, we know that we need to pray. But guess what? It's difficult, isn't it? It's difficult to do all those things. And why is it so difficult that this loving, awesome God is so difficult to do these things with? Instead of loving God just because we should, we need to stop and love God because we love God. And that's what I want you to stop today. And so what we first learn, and I'm going to be honest with you, even though we know that we should do these things and these are important things to do, honestly, and this is the first blank, loving and fearing God can be difficult in life. It can be really difficult to do, to make that commitment. Because I got to tell you, there are days where I just don't feel like loving and fearing God. I just don't feel like it. There are days I don't feel like reading my Bible. There are days I don't feel like worshiping. There are days where I don't feel like praying. There are days where I don't feel like listening, going to small group. I tell everybody when we do Disciple Bible Study, I always say, you will not feel like coming here every week. But when you come, it'll make a difference. Am I right, those of you who've been through that? And that's 32 to 34 weeks that we've done, where you get to look at this face for 32 and 34 weeks. That's enough to keep you away, correct? But there are more times in my life where I don't feel. Do you know that there are Sundays I wake up and I don't want to come here? Yeah, and I'm the preacher. That's bad. There are days I think, maybe I should just sit in front of a computer and go ahead and say, here's my sermon today, right? I could do that. That works. We could do that and embrace it now. And I've done that before when we got snowed in. There are days where I say, I don't even want to pick up the Bible. I don't even talk. I don't want to put together a bulletin. I don't want to preach. I don't want to do any of that. I want to go just hide somewhere. Anybody have those times in your life? So why are we like that? Why are we? Do we have times? Why does Jack have particular times in his life when I really don't feel like loving God? What is going on in my life? Well, I want to share with you, here's the thing. When we really, really look at God, we got to see who God is. Now, I want to share with you a brief video by Francis Chan. It's about 2.5 minutes or so. And he's going to share to you something about our insignificance. So look at the person next to you and say, we're going to find out how insignificant we are. All right? And you're going to show this, and we're going to start, it's going to start in Southern California because that's where his church was at the time, and this is an older video. Melinda, can you help us out here?
What you're seeing right now. First of all, this is the earth, okay? This is just you're taking off from the earth from Southern California, and we're gonna rise up for a little bit here, okay? We're going to pull away from it. We're going to pull higher. Now, this is at about 10 kilometers. Like if you climb Mount Everest, this is what you'd see. You'd see the curvature of the earth from that distance. Now we're going to climb up even higher. This is at 100 kilometers. And you're a fourth of the way to the space station now. This is what you'd see. If you get to this level, you're considered an astronaut. Just if you ever get there. Okay, now we're going 100,000 kilometers. 100,000 kilometers from the earth. You're a fourth of the way to the moon. That's what the earth would look like. Now we're going to pull away to 1,000,000 kilometers. At 1,000,000 kilometers, there's the moon. Okay? There's the moon. You can barely see the earth. You're at 1,000,000 kilometers now. You're past the moon. And now we're going to go to 100 million kilometers. 100 million kilometers. You're still not to the sun. The sun's 93 million miles away. But now we're going to go to 10 trillion kilometers. There's the sun. Okay. You just passed the sun. Now you would see all of the planets at 10 trillion kilometers. And now, we're at 10 to the 15th power. That means 10 with 15 zeros. I don't know what that number is. 15 zeros, and the sun's just like a bright dot amidst other stars. And now, we're going to 10 light years away. At 10 light years away, come on, let's go. Zoom, there you go. 10 light years away. Now you just see the sun with like 11 other stars that are kind of its neighbors. You know, that's our sun. And now we're going to go 1,000 light years away. At 1,000 light years away, you wouldn't even see our sun anymore. These are just a bunch of stars close to it in this cluster inside the Milky Way. Now we're going to zoom out even further, and that's the Milky Way we live in. See that cluster of stars? Those are about 100,000 stars that are closest to our sun. You can't see our sun anymore at this point. Now this is our Milky Way galaxy, and forget about the Earth. Okay. There's our Milky Way galaxy that we live in. And we're just buried in there somewhere. And we're going to pull out even further. And you'll see that our galaxy is actually, it's a big galaxy. And all those other things you're seeing now are galaxies. And we're going to pull away 10 million light years now. His next scene is 10 million light years. Those are all galaxies you see. Amidst our Milky Way, several hundred galaxies. Now we're going to go 100 million light years away. This is the last one. We're going to zoom out to 100 million light years. Those are all clusters of galaxies. Galaxies and clusters of galaxies. You won't even see our Milky Way galaxy anymore amidst that. We don't have telescopes that go beyond that little sphere there.
All right, so how special do you feel now, right? Think about that. Here's some statistics that we have. It is believed that there may be 350 billion galaxies. And then let me just share some of these some of this information with you. When God said, "Let there be light," light came traveling at 186,000 miles per second, which is the speed of light. Let's look some more. A beam of light could circle the Earth 7 times every second. The Milky Way galaxy is so big that we have to use light years to get around it. Light goes 5.88 trillion miles a year. That's a light year. And the Milky Way consists of billions of stars. In our galaxy, the Milky Way is 100,000 light years just to get across from one side to the other. Scientists say that our solar system is the size of a quarter, and the Milky Way galaxy is the size of the North American continent in relative size. All right. I also heard if you take your front door and you take a nickel is the size of Earth compared to the sun. Neil Armstrong said, "I remember on the way home on Apollo 11, it suddenly struck me that that tiny pea, pretty and blue, was the Earth. I put my thumb up, shut one eye, and by thumb blotted out the planet Earth. but I didn't feel like a giant. I felt very, very small. The psalmist got it right when he said, "When I look at the heavens, the moon and the stars that you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him?" You know, the sun is 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit on the surface. It's like a billion nuclear bombs going off every second. The sun is so strong it sends out light at 186 miles per second. And it only takes a beam of light 8 minutes to cover 93 million mile journey from the sun to your skin on Earth. I could go with more and more. I'll give you one more here. 28 million light years out, you come to the Sombrero Galaxy. Olay. And it is 50,000 light years wide and trillions of miles thick. All right. There, as we can look further on, let's talk about what we do know here. Because that seems really big, doesn't it? Seems like we can't even begin to fathom that. But let's talk about this. I've started to see, as the weather is changing back and forth, caterpillars. How many of you ever seen some caterpillars? Do you know that a caterpillar has 228 distinct and individual muscles in its head? An elm tree. Anybody have an elm tree? Everybody seen an elm tree? An elm tree has an average on it 6 million leaves. The heart, your heart pressure, it has enough pressure to squirt blood up to 30 feet away from where you're standing. Anybody ever get goosebumps? You know what goosebumps are? They're actually the hair follicles trying to trap in the body heat to warm itself. And how many love spiders? You like spiders? Spiders, when they're spinning their web, spin three kinds of silk. And they spin at 60 feet per hour. And while they're spinning it, they also secrete an oil on their own feet so that they don't stick to it. Isn't that cool? All right. And by the way, they are doubling in size every so often. They actually have them the size of small poodles in Africa. Not going to Africa. Okay. Look at what R.C. Sproul said. R.C. Sproul said, "Men are never duly touched and impressed with a conviction or their insignificance until they have contrasted themselves with the majesty of God." I want to show you a picture here. See this picture here? See that little dot with a circle around it? Now, these lines are just a lens flare that was taken by Voyager as it was leaving our galaxy. And the person who was controlling it turned it back and snapped a picture of Earth. That's us. With everything going on this planet, we seem so small and insignificant. And that is a picture from 60 billion kilometers away. Okay, go home. No. We could leave each other feeling that way. But let's talk about the human body real quick. The human body. You know, messages travel from the human brain, travel along the nerves up to 200 miles per hour. In an adult human, 25% of your bones are in your feet. Did you know that the gluteus maximus is the largest muscle in your body? Some people use that for their brain as well. All right. A human's ears and nose never stop growing. You know that 50% of your hand strength come within your little finger, your pinky finger? If human DNA were uncoiled, it would stretch 10 million miles from Earth to Pluto and back. There are more bacteria in the human mouth than there are people in the world. For an adult human, taking just one step uses 200 muscles. A human skeleton renews itself completely every 10 years. By the time a person reaches 70 years old, he or she will have consumed 12,000 gallons of water. Like fingerprints, each human tongue has their own print. Aren't you glad they use fingers and not, you know, you have to roll your tongue, okay? Hey, we're here for a little over an hour. Here's what you get to hear. Every hour, humans shed about 600,000 particles of skin, or about 1.5 pounds of skin a year. By the time a person is 70 years old, they will have lost about 105 pounds of skin. Yay, okay. The average human produces 25,000 quarts of saliva in a lifetime, enough to fill up two swimming pools. A person's feet A person's feet has about 500,000 sweat glands that can produce about a pint of sweat a day? No. A human sneeze travels at about 100 miles per hour or more. That's really going, okay? An adult human is made up of about 7 octillion atoms. Humans spend about 5 years of their lives eating. In the adult human, blood circulates about 12,000 miles a day. It's like traveling from east to west across the widest part of the Pacific Ocean. Human heart beats in a lifetime 3 billion times. Some people can actually hear their eyeballs moving in their head. If you spread out a human brain, it would be the size of a pillowcase. Aren't these cool? I love it. A human eye can distinguish between approximately 10 million different colors. And a person takes about 25,040 breaths a day, or about, ready for this? 672,768,000,000 breaths in a lifetime. All right? Isn't that amazing? How incredible we are made? That there is this vast universe, this incredible universe, that even God cares enough about the caterpillars to give them 200 and some muscles in their head. And he cares enough about you that he knew you would be sitting in church for a while and he gave your strongest muscle your butt. So you're just, we're doing calisthenics for Jesus when you're sitting on your butt. All right? There are some amazing facts that we have. And as we look in Psalm 19, go there with me if you will. Psalm 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal his knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them, yet their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the earth." You realize the stars we see at night are from millions of years away. Many of those have burned out already. And we just get a chance to see them now. You see, what I'm saying here is all of creation, if we just stop and look, says God is amazing. And he loves you enough. God desires worship and fear because he desires all. If we stop and go, wow, look at what is provided for us. Yet so many times, I miss it, you miss it, and our world around us miss it because tomorrow the alarm's going to go off. And I'll just not feel like it. Or I will just forget about it. And God on my way to and from somewhere else. And basically I have an amnesia of who God is. I forget who God is. And so when I go to pray and I don't stop and think about how incredibly awesome God is, I'm missing the point of who I get the opportunity to talk to. A.W. Tozer says this. He says, and I shared this last week, "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us." He continues and says, "Worship is pure or base as the worshiper entertains high or low thoughts of God. For this reason, the gravest question before the church is always God himself. And the most portentous fact about any man is not what he at a given time may say or do, but what his deep convictions of heart say and who he in his deep convictions of his heart, he says, God is." Who is God to you and me? Creation tells us who God is. So I want to spend the next few moments going through some things about who God is. Is that okay with you? First, I want to start with this one. And you may know this one. God is eternal. God is eternal. I think we all agree about that. We all think about that, that God is eternal. But yet, I want you to stop. Everybody say stop. Stop. And I want you to think about what that means. Because everything else we have ever seen, everything else we have ever experienced has a beginning and an end. All those who've come before us had a beginning and an end. All those of us now will have a beginning, had a beginning and will have an end. All of those after us will have a beginning and the end. Everything that exists in the universe that we know of has a beginning and an end except for God. And often we don't understand that. We don't understand that God's nature, as I mentioned last week when he talked to Moses, and he said, Who am I going to say? And he says, I am what I am. I always have been. I always will be. That God is not bound by time. That God is eternal and always exists. And I don't fully understand that, but I know that he is. Let's look at Psalm 102. That's up here on the screen. But you, O Lord, abide how long? Forever. And your name to all generations. You, and then we continue verse 27. But you are the same, and your years will not come to an end. God always has, always will be who he is. God is eternal. And when we have an eternal God, that means whatever's going on situationally in our little blue planet is okay because God's in control of it all. Second thing is, God is all-knowing. Now, if you really stop and think about that, that may scare you. How many of you can think right now something over the last week that you'd be a little bit embarrassed that God knows? How many anybody over the last year? How many over the lifetime that God knows all that stuff? I am really embarrassed right now. What about you? That God knows all those things. He knows absolutely everything about me. You know, what's funny is, no matter, Melissa and I have been married for 21 plus years now, and she knows a lot about me. You guys, we've been friends for many years, and several of you, and some of you know a lot about me. Some of you saw me grow up. Some of you have come to know me in different realms. But guess what? You really don't know me. There are things about me that even Melissa doesn't know. There are things about you, her, that I don't really truly know. There are things about everybody here that I can go ahead. We are constantly giving people opinions of who we are. And I don't care how close you are to somebody. There's only one person who really knows you, and that's God. He knits you together. He sees every thought and every care and every single thing. Look at what it says, you know, in Psalm 115, it tells us that. If we look further, you can write Psalm 115:3. You can check that. But let's look at Colossians. I'm sorry, not there. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 says, nothing in creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before him, before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Every single thing that we think, every single thing that we do, God knows about, even though others may not. So God is all-knowing. So I can put trust in that and say, yay, God knows. God's all-knowing. But then I'm like, uh-oh, God knows. So he's not shocked by when I come to him and confess what's going on in my life. Because he knows already. Let's look at the next one. God is all-powerful. This one, Psalm 115:3, talks about the power of God. And in Colossians 1:16, it says this, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. It's all about God. It's all about God. It is never about you and me. It has never been about me. It never will be about me. It never be about you. It is all about God. Every single second, every single thing about it. In Daniel chapter 4, it says this, all the peoples of earth are regarded as nothing. He does what he pleases with the powers of heaven and the people of earth. No one can hold back his hand or say, what have you done? But how many of us have ever spent time where we've been mad at God, we've been upset at God, we've been frustrated, and we say, God, what are you doing? And we kind of get angry with God. And God is not fazed by that. I think sometimes he gets a chuckle about it and goes, okay, go ahead. Yeah, it's okay. I got this. You ever had your kids get mad at you and stomp? And what do? You go, that's funny. Right? You ever laughed at them when they get mad? I don't like you very much. That makes two of us, right? You know? Do you ever just go, oh, I'm so sorry. You're right. I shouldn't have punished you. Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry. Yes, go ahead and do whatever you want. No, nobody does that, right? So when God comes to us and gets frustrated, and we're frustrated with God, and we're shaking our fist at God, how could you? And you did, and blah, blah, blah. And God goes, that's cute. I'm God, you're not. And I'm going to do what I want to do because I'm God. I put it all together, and I'm in control of everything. And why don't you just recognize, I know what's best for you. I'm your daddy who loves you. Right? We miss that. We're so busy going to prayer and saying, God, I got this, and I'm mad, and I'm upset, and I'm blah, 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 and God, you need to, and I think if you should do this, and if you do this, God, how many get those prayers where we tell God what he should do? You know, God, if you do this, then I'll love you. If you do this, and I'll do that. Blah, 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 blah. Tell me how well you would do if you're the boss and somebody says, you know, I'll really like you as a boss if you give me that extra $10,000. And you say, nice, I guess you're not going to like me, right? How many, when your kids say, I would love you if you just did this for me, and you say, oh, okay, I'm going to do that. That doesn't motivate us. It's not going to motivate God, who knows all things, and who is also all-powerful, an all-powerful God, who all things were created by him and for him. All of creation testifies to the glory of God. And let me ask you a question. Would you and do you really want to worship a God who needs to answer to you? Why would we want to worship a God who has to answer to me? Can you imagine how demented this world would be if God had to answer to Jack Cohen? There'd be a lot of people smitten, I don't know, whatever. All right, these are just a couple of the qualities. And there's another one, there's a couple of others they talk about in the book, but I want you to go ahead and look at that yourself. But I do want to talk about this one in our time remaining. God is indescribably holy. You know, what if I said to you, you should see my car. My car is kind of like a Porsche, and it's really fast, and it's got red stripes down the side, right? And then I go out to you later, and you say, hey, what'd you say about your car? I said, well, it's kind of like a Volkswagen Bug, but kind of like a Mack truck. And and you said it had flames? No, it doesn't have any flames. Where'd you get that from? You told me. No, yeah. If I give you two different opinions of that, they don't match. If I said you have a friend, I have a friend who's there all the time, who's just committed to me and always strong. And I said, you know, I said, oh, I have this friend, and it's the same person, and that friend is never there, and it's such a jerk. You're like, well, how do those match up? We do the same thing with God, though, when we talk about God. We talk about the holiness of God, and then somebody else will talk about the anger of God. And guess what? We don't get to decide who God is. God knows who he is. We just need to bask in who he is and understand who he is. And God is indescribably holy. Indescribably holy. If we look to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 12, verse 2, it says, I say to you, be holy because I, the Lord, your God, am holy. We can look up definitions of holiness, but I want you to think back to the verse that Robin read for us today. In Revelation chapter 4, where John is seeing an image of the throne room of God, and he's talking about all these kind of like precious jewels that make up things around there. And he's seeing this rainbow that's kind of emerald, and it's he's using like wealth. And we get really excited about golden streets in heaven and stuff, but that you see, God takes the wealthiest stuff of this world and makes it his pavement. And so we're looking at this majestic image of God that is being provided for us by John, and he does a really good job, even though it's very difficult to describe what is going on. But we're told to be holy in the nature of God, and we're told about God. But I want to take you to a place that we haven't talked about. I'm going to read it really quickly, and then I'm going to go through three things where I believe that we have a moment when we come into contact with who God is when we stop praying and we see God, how we can continue on. And I'm going to take you to Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. I'm going to read that right now. In the year that King Uzziah died, and King Uzziah was a beloved king, he died and the people were in mourning. He said, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on the throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. So Isaiah is seeing the throne room of God, and it filled the temple. Above him were seraphim. They're angels. I almost drew them this week to give you great humor, but I didn't. Each with six wings, with two wings they covered their faces, with two wings they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And that's tres agion is the term in theology. Tres agion, three times holy. And anytime in scripture you see things three times, it is giving you the perfect number of things. Triune God. Okay, so holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke, the presence of God. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." And then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in hand, which was taken from the altar of sacrifice before the throne. And he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for." And then I heard a voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send who will go for us?" And I said, "Oh, here I am. Send me." And he said, "Go and tell this people, be ever hearing and never understanding, be ever seeing but never perceiving," etc., 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 and you can read the rest. What in the world is this about? Did he eat bad mushrooms that day or something? No, he is seeing who God really is. He is in the presence of God Almighty, and he's in. He's dealing with a time in his life where everything is falling apart, that the nation lost its beloved leader. And he's in pain and he's in suffering. And he's beginning to go to prayer and he's seeking God. And anytime we seek God, we end up, and we really see God in the holiness that he's in, we begin to have a couple defining moments in our lives at a crossroads. And I want to share a couple of those very briefly with you when we see God. The first thing that we need to do is when we come to see God and how holy he is, and we need to come to him, and here's where we begin to pray after we recognize the holiness of God. We need to say, "Show me. Show me, God. Show me." What did Isaiah say? Isaiah said, after he saw God and his holiness and understood that, he said, "Woe, woe to me. I'm a man of unclean lips." In other words, I've seen the majesty of God, and I am not worthy of any of this. He didn't even see his little dot in the Milky Way galaxy. He didn't understand all that. He just knew in the presence of the God who created all, he was insignificant. And he recognized, he was convicted of what was wrong in his own life. You know, have you ever been somewhere sometime where, like, you're sitting there and you have, like, somebody's looking at you and going, and you're just talking to people. Somebody's going. And you go. And you have like one of them floating boogers. Or you got food on your, and you're like, you're just talking away. Like, I'll just share this, and I think God did it. I just realized during the video I had my fly down. I hope nobody else got that. And so it would have been like somebody in the back going. I'd be going, "Yeah, you see God," you know, like this, and not knowing that. And so many times, this is our relationship with God. We've got little floating boogers in our lives, and we got our fly down, and we're just, yeah. And God's saying, "Hey, just to let you know, you got that little thing that you need to deal with." And when we come into the contact with the majesty and glory of God, he's going to show us what needs to be removed in our lives. We're going to be convicted of an area. This happens. Look at what Psalm 139 says. "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive booger in my nose and lead me to the way of a Kleenex, of everlasting," right? That's number one. Number two. Once God shows us what's going on in our lives, what does he want to do? Cleanse me. Cleanse me. In Isaiah 6:6, one of the seraphim came and flew down and grabbed a coal. And, you know, we're convicted of, "Oh, I'm unclean. I'm not good. I can't do anything in the majesty of God." And he says, "Boom, now you're clean." You see, God wants to cleanse us. He loves us so much, he doesn't leave us with that floating around. He doesn't leave us with our flies down. He doesn't leave us in the mess that we're in. He says, "Now, I'm the God who created all this, and I want to make you holy. Be holy as I am holy. I'm going to clean you up. I'm going to clean you up." It's the story of the prodigal son. He catches you, and when you return back and see who he is, you say, "God, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to be called your son. I'm not worthy to be called your daughter." He says, "Shut up. Get the fatted calf. Get the robe. Clean him up. This is my child." And he loves you that much. Cleanse me. You can't try to be better. You can't try to be more loving toward God. You can't try that. What you have to do is you have to recognize, "God, I am unclean. And I'm not worthy," and God will cleanse you and remove it from you. That's the other part. It's not about doing more. but it's about getting closer to God. The closer you get to God, the cleaner you get. The closer you get to the shower, the cleaner you get. If you remain outside and you got the shower going on, you got a bar of soap, you got body wash and all that other kind of hair products and stuff, unless you get in the shower and let it cleanse you and use it, it's never going to happen. Get closer to God and get free in Him. Look at what the Psalm, in 1 John, it says, if we claim to be without sin, we are deceiving ourselves. But in Psalm 51, David wrote this, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast and right spirit in me. And I want to tell you, too many people stop here in our Christian faith. Show me, God, cleanse me. And they stop here. But Isaiah didn't stop here, did he? There was one more thing. And as we read in all the scripture, anybody who had come in contact with God, anybody who ever came in contact with him anywhere, he showed them with Moses. He said, Moses showed him who he was. He cleaned him up. And then he sent him. The Apostle Paul showed him what was wrong, cleaned him up, said, I got those Gentiles you got to go talk to. Here's the other part, and if you don't get this, you're missing the whole thing about coming in contact with God in a defining moment, is send me. Send me. Send me. 1 Peter tells us this, but you are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work. Wait, I'm a priest? I'm a preacher? I'm a minister? Yes, you are. Chosen to be God's holy people. Look at that word, holy people. God's instruments to do his work and speak out for him. You know, when you come and so I want you to, before you go to prayer, I'm going to ask the worship team to come up now. Before we go in any further today's service, I just want you to stand where you are. And I want you to stop and think. I want you to think of those images that you saw. There's some really cool videos. There's a guy named Louis Giglio who wrote a song, How Great Is Our God, with Chris Tomlin. And he actually has taken whales and stars and all kinds of things and put the music together so they actually are singing How Great Is Our God. It's very cool. All of creation is giving praise to God. And as insignificant as that little dot may look in the vast nature of the universe, you are special to God. And he loves you. He loves you incredibly. He loves you intimately. So what I'd like you to do is just bow your heads as the lights go down. Just bow your heads. Think of God. What do you think of God? Who is he? Who is he to you? How great is your God? How amazing is the Lord of all the universe? How insignificant are you and I in the grand scheme of this universe? Just right now, in the silence of your hearts, just begin to see God for who he is. See the God that John saw in Revelation. To see the God that Isaiah saw when he received this call. But you know, it's not about John. It's not about Isaiah. It's about you. It's the fact that the God of the universe is coming to you today. And you're at a decision point in your life. You're at a turning point where you can say to him, God, show me. Show me if there's any offensive way in me. God, cleanse me. Cleanse me from all that stuff that shouldn't be part of me. And ultimately, you can say, send me, God. Send me. You are the King of the universe. Send me. And see God in a different way. He loves you. He loves you. Amen.
Is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus. Christ alone, cornerstone, the weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil.
My anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, the weak made strong in the Savior's love.
God, we praise you for who you are. We praise you that we are just beginning to scratch the surface of how great our God is, how great he is. All creation is singing your praise. May we join in that chorus, God, singing how great is our God, and recognize that you alone are worthy to be praised. Christ our alone, cornerstone, the weak made strong in the Savior's love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, next week, our next week's message, by all means, make sure you get connected. Plenty of small groups, plenty of books out there. Next week, you may not finish this sermon, is next week. All right, so we will see you next week. Have an awesome week. And this first time when the clouds go by, take a look and see how great our God is. Amen.